It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. It's the NFL game tomorrow on Tampa, Florida. Kickoff scheduled for 5:30 as the Kansas City Chiefs meet the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Chiefs come in 16-2, Tampa Bay 14-5, as we have done over the past several years. Today we are going to break down that football game in the first half hour with local high school football coaches. With the Kansas City Chiefs this year, it is Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Henches. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Kevin.
All right, true-false question to start off. Kansas City Chiefs football team this year better than the championship team from last year. True or false, and why?
Oh, I'm not sure. I guess I'll go with true. I think offensively they're explosive. I think their defense has improved. Certainly areas of weakness defensively, but overall, to go through the grind of the NFL season to be 16-2, and I think the experience they have coming back from last year probably makes them more equipped for this big game.
All right, let's talk about the defense. First of all, four-man defensive front for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and when you look at the defensive front, you look at guys like Chris Jones and Frank Clark and their ability to get pressure on the quarterback, even though they're not really leading the league in sacks, they do have a lot of quarterback pressures, and the back end of their defense is really strong with Legarius Sneed, who's one of the top rookie corners in the league, and Breland and Fenton and Ward, and, of course, Tyrann Mathieu, who's the heart and soul of their defense, and, all-pro safety, six interceptions. If there's probably a weak spot defensively, it might be their linebacker core, but overall I think it's an improved defense. A couple areas I think of concern, when you look at the Chiefs' defense is their third down defense and their red zone defense. Those areas are going to have to play well in tomorrow.
Let's talk about that for just a second, that last comment, because during the regular season, the Chiefs defense was last in the league in red zone defense. Question to you, agree or disagree with this? It's gotten better in the postseason.
It has gotten better in the postseason, but when you're going against a quarterback like Brady, in the red zone, and tight ends like Gronk, that's a cause for concern. It has gotten better, but Brady and his 10 Super Bowls, that's a lot of experience down there. And, that I think that'll be a big key to tomorrow's game. A
couple of quick numbers as far as the Chiefs' total defense averaging during the regular season, 358 yards, which was 16th in the NFL. Passing defense, 236 yards a game, that was 14th in the NFL. Rushing defense, 122 yards a game, which was 21st in the league. Is Tampa going to be able to run the football? Do they want to run the football?
Oh, I think so. When you look at those numbers and you see the ranking, they're about middle of the road when you're talking about defense. And, even though Tampa doesn't run the football a lot, I think they feel they're going to have to win that game. They're going to have to be balanced. And I think they're going to put that pressure on the Chiefs' defense. And, it's interesting. I do think it's a commentary on today's football. I think 10, 15 years ago, you don't make it to the Super Bowl without a top 10 defense, even a top 5 defense. But the Chiefs' offense is so explosive. They're able to put points on the board. And even though their defense, and it's an improving defense, it's not the best defense in the NFL. And so you always wonder if that old adage is true, defense wins championships. I don't know. I think maybe offense wins championships. I think the Chiefs are showing that. But I think the Bucs, certainly the Buccaneers have got to feel they have to run the football, and they feel like they probably could run the football against the Chiefs front seven.
All right, Chiefs on defense. Give me one or two key players for them.
Well, I think, obviously Chris Jones and his ability to get after the passer. If you look at Brady, if you give Brady time, he's going to make you pay. So I think when you look at the Chiefs' overall defensive scheme, whether they're bringing safeties or linebackers, whether it's Matthews or, they're going to have to get some pressure on Brady, because he is not as effective if you can pressure him. And, whether it's Legarius Sneed trying to lock down Antonio Brown or Tyrann Mathieu doing what he does in the back end, those are going to be some of the keys tomorrow, and how well those defensive leaders play.
How about the safety, Daniel Sorensen, their leading tackler?
Yeah, and he's a big play type of defender. I mean, look at what he did in the Browns game, you know, knocking that ball out as they were, you know, crossing the goal line. That could have been the difference in the game. But, you know, he's kind of a do-everything, everywhere type of player, and he'll be key as well.
You like this number, I know, as a head football coach. The Chiefs win the close games. A win over Cleveland in the playoffs, 22-17, was their eighth straight win by 6 points or less.
Yeah, and the Chiefs are getting it done. Like I said, they're not blowing teams out because their defense doesn't allow them to blow teams out. You know, teams are able to move the ball and score on them. Chiefs are just scoring more, doing what you have to do to get a win. You know, and that's, you know, Al Davis, just win, baby, type of mentality. And it's always not the prettiest and most dominant, but they are, you know, they're doing what they need to do to get the W. And I said, it's got them this far already.
Week 12, Tampa Bay lost to the Chiefs, November 29th, 27-24 final score. Does that matter?
I'm sure both teams are going to draw from that game, you know, scheme-wise, as much as they possibly can. I mean, Mahomes had a great game in that game, over 460 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. But Brady led a furious comeback, too, and fell a little bit short. I think that could be an indicator of what might happen tomorrow. But I think, you know, that was back in week 12. They've played a lot of football since then. I don't know how much that's going to really matter.
Let's take a look at the Chiefs' offense. First of all, offensive line, only one starting player in his original position.
Yeah, they've kind of been a patchwork group. And obviously them losing Eric Fisher last week with a torn Achilles is probably a big point of concern, because you look what Tampa Bay did to Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. Green Bay was in a similar situation, and, you know, they just got after Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers was one of the least sacked quarterbacks in the NFL, and the Bucs exploited that inexperienced offensive line. So that's a little bit of a concern there up front. But you know, I think overall, Mahomes' escapability might be key. If their patchwork offensive line can't keep the heat off of him.
Your son Hale plays in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings at tight end. How about Travis Kelce for the Chiefs?
When you look at Kelce, obviously best tight end in the game, and I think there's some debate that some people have, but we look at the year that he had, and I think that's going to be really key. Anytime you have such an athletic tight end that you can put all over the field, which they do, and they motion him, they're so creative in how they get him the football. He's a lot of fun to watch, and I think it's going to be a big, big key. Look at what he did in the two playoff games, over 220 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns, and Tampa Bay's linebackers are one of the worst groups in the league versus the pass. So, you know Andy Reid, they have to be salivating at that, thinking that we're going to get a matchup with the best tight end in the NFL against a linebacking core and a safety core that doesn't cover the tight end very well. So I think that could be a big key to the Chiefs' success.
Kelce, during the regular season, 105 catches for 1,416 yards and 11 TDs. In the playoffs, 21 catches for 227 yards and 3 TDs. Tyreek Hill, outside wide receiver, great speed, runs great routes, and he is a threat. A lot of times they want to try to double-team him, but then that opens things up for Kelce in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's what people always say when you look at the Chiefs' offense is, okay, what are you going to do? Scheme-wise, you can't double both of them. You know, who are you going to take away? And I'm sure Tampa's got some plans for that. But even if you try to, you know, match your best guy against Tyreek Hill, is there anybody in the league that can actually cover him? I mean, incredible. I think he's one of the most explosive players in the game today. And I don't think Tampa's got a corner that can cover him one-on-one. Like you said, a huge season. And to me, he's the X factor. As good as Kelce is, I think Tyreek Hill's ability to get in different spots really makes him unbelievably hard to defend.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes, the only NFL quarterback to start 2 Super Bowls by age of 25. I can throw out a lot of numbers as far as Patrick Mahomes is concerned, but I want to get your thoughts. What makes him such a great quarterback?
I just think he has a great feel for the game. You know, just overall knowledge and just his athleticism and his creativity and just confidence. And he's playing with such high confidence right now. He had 588 attempts this year and only 6 interceptions. That's number one in the league. So they throw the ball a lot, and he takes care of it. That's a big key as well. I think he's the greatest young quarterback in the game. And I know people have highlighted that matchup this week, and that'll be interesting. The greatest young quarterback in the game versus probably the greatest quarterback of all time. So that's going to – although people will always say it's a quarterback matchup, it's much more than that. But, Mahomes brings a creativity and an imagination and an athleticism that is just an awful lot of fun to watch and really, really hard to stop.
Final question or final point, complete the sentence for me. The Kansas City Chiefs win the NFL championship game over Tampa Bay. If what happens?
Well, I think the Chiefs have got to establish a little bit of run game, and I think they should be able to do that. They've got a stable of backs with Allaire and Williams and Le'Veon Bell if he's activated. But, the Chiefs also can get big chunks of yards with their slot receivers like Nicole Hardman or Tyreek Hill. Running the football and taking a little bit of pressure off Mahomes, I think, will be important for their offensive success. And defensively, they have to do a better job on third down. And like we've talked about, a better job in the red zone. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I don't know if you're going to ask me what my predictions are, but I think the Chiefs are going to win a high-scoring, close one.
I didn't have to ask then, did I? Coach, thanks for being with us this morning. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Inches. Tampa Bay, Ted LePage has the Buccaneers when we come back from the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
The Hawthorne Bank family has always been our financial foundation.
Customers share how Hawthorne Bank's Jeff Carr can offer peace of mind advice.
I had some interruption in my revenue cycle. I went from having a very panicked phone call to Jeff to about 5 minutes later being totally at ease.
I was very overwhelmed. He made the process so much easier. He kind of took that fear away.
Life happens. You just try to be the calm voice in good and bad.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Hawthorne Bank.
Since 1974, Phoenix programs have served our community by providing effective treatment for those seeking recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. Through the COVID-19 pandemic, we have expanded our services to better serve those in crisis. Please call 833-415-1707 and find help today. That's 833-415-1707. This announcement sponsored by Phoenix Programs.
Trips right, shotgun formation. Looks like he's going to pass, and he lost the ball. Defense picks it up and scores. Game over.
Why do they even play that kid?
Must be the coach's son.
Actually, that's my son.
Uncomfortable.
At AirServe, we believe the air in which you live and breathe should be comfortable and clean. And when it comes to upgrading your furnace and air conditioner, you can bet we won't fumble the installation. So you can enjoy the win with savings and efficiency. Go to AirServe.com and schedule your appointment today.
AirServe. Put you in your comfort zone.
If you're a do-it-yourself diesel mechanic, I'll bet you've been on the internet trying to figure out what's wrong with your truck or tractor. And that's okay. But if you've reached the limits of your abilities, the limits of your tools, or the limits of your patience, then it's okay to make an appointment for our experienced diesel technicians to take care of your diesel. Capital Diesel, where there's always an owner available to help you.
When you need to be sure.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the NFL championship game tomorrow in Tampa, as it will be the Chiefs taking on the Buccaneers. Before we dive into the Buccaneers, there's a lot of Missouri ties, if you will, to these two teams in this football game, isn't there?
It's really exciting, Kevin. I was able to spend 7 years at the University of Missouri, 5 as a player, and then 2 as a graduate assistant. And got a lot of people that I've met and been associated with for many years that are involved. Starts with Brad Berlin, and he's the head equipment manager for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was a equipment manager, student manager when I played for Marshall, Missouri. Went to Mizzou, graduated, was a GA with me, worked with Dirk Cutter, got hired by Dirk Cutter at Tampa Bay to be their head equipment manager, and now he's the equipment manager for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Andy Hill, a longtime Mizzou guy, known him since 1985. Last year, Dave Tobe, who's another Mizzou guy that was the strength and conditioning coach at Mizzou for several years and then became a D-line coach and then went with Andy Reid to Philadelphia and has been Chicago Bears and back to Kansas City, and then, of course, Andy Reid. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, when I was a graduate assistant, he had been let go at UMass as a coach, and he actually came out and spent a season with us as like a volunteer assistant. So not essentially a Mizzou connection, but he was at the staff because he and a guy by the name of Steve Tealander had a strong relationship, and then Andy got to know Steve Tealander.
All right, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First of all, on defense, three-man front for them.
Yeah, they're big, physical. They demand attention on the line of scrimmage. You know, at Blair Oaks, what we try to do is we try to take three and occupy five, and that's what they do. They do a really good job of that. Getting Vita Villa, I hope I said that name correctly, back at 6'4", 354 pounds, that guy is going to be a mass of humanity to try to move out of there. They seem to really do a great job of stopping the run. They're the second-ranked defense in doing that. They allow their outside backers, who are just unbelievable, Shaq Barrett and JJP, they just allow Jason Pierre-Paul, they allow him, those two, to work on those tackles one-on-one. And then the inside linebackers are tremendous. Probably the best athlete playing middle linebacker right now, Devin White. Just he comes downhill so well, reads so well, but he is so fast, and he's able to take away things from the middle of the field. So an interesting front for the Chiefs to go against. The best thing for the Chiefs, they're not knowing it's a running team. I think they're going to try to run the football. You have to in any football game, but it's not going to be their strong point, and that's something that is really the strength of the Bucs defense, is that front seven, stopping the run.
Yeah, good point, because the Bucs finished eighth in the league in scoring defense during the regular season, giving up about 22 points a game. You mentioned it just a moment ago, rushing defense giving up just 80 yards per game. That was first in the NFL for Tampa Bay during the regular season.
But they're going to do so much emphasis on trying to stop Kansas City's pass game. I think you're going to see Kansas City sneak some runs in and be, and when I say sneak them in, there'll be calculated moves by Andy Reid and the enemy. But I think you'll see them run the ball a little bit more than you think they will. And they'll be a little bit more effective, I think people are going to give them credit for, because of the blocking ability up front. The only thing that worries me for Kansas City to not be able to run for the ball is the two offensive tackles. No one's played for a lot of years, but the other one, you know, is going to be new to the game, and going against the two defensive or the outside linebackers that they're going to see, they're going to have their hands full. So it's going to be interesting to see the way Tampa Bay mixes up that 3-4 front. They play what's called the 3-4 front, three down linemen. But most of the time they're bringing four. It's just which one is going to come, which one's going to drop, and sometimes they bring that fifth guy, and they'll try to mix up some man coverages into it. But, boy, you better be careful when you play a Chiefs playing man coverage. A
couple of quick things with regards to Tampa Bay's defense. They had the league's fourth best pass rush during the regular season, seven sacks in three postseason games, and they lead the NFL with 41 points off of seven takeaways in the playoffs.
You know, that is this year, when we were at Blair Oaks, we talked about our defense being great. Great defense to score. You don't allow the other team to score. You score. And I think that is one thing, and you saw it in the playoffs. I saw last week, Green Bay, every time there was a turnover, they weren't looking just to get on turnover. They were looking to either scoop and score or intercept and return for a score. It's a mindset, and that's something Todd Bowles, I know he's an Andy Reid, off the Andy Reid coaching tree also. That's a guy that you can see really preaches that, and his team, if you preach it, it's one thing, but if your team accepts it and tries to take responsibility, that's what you really see. And that's the thing that Tampa Bay, they had a great defense last year. It was just that they struggled on offense. So I think their defense has just gotten nothing but stronger, and they've really came on here in the playoffs, try to create an atmosphere where we're going to score, not let the other team score.
Quick final question on defense, then we'll flip the chart. Kansas City, great offense. what has to happen for Tampa Bay? Who needs to really step up for them defensively tomorrow?
Well, I think it's going to be their inside backers. There's so much that happens. So many teams play zone coverage against the Chiefs, trying to stop Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins from going down the field. And then what happens is you have the running backs that are very good at catching the ball, but then you have Travis Kelce just working over the middle of the field. I think it's going to have to be a really good job out of their inside linebackers to take away Kelce, because when you see Mahomes scramble, there's two guys he looks for, and there's no doubt. He's looking for Tyreek Hill over the top, and he's going to take off, and he's going to try to – he's got the abilities with his arm to extend that field. But the second thing is he looks for Travis Kelce over the middle, and he takes so many risks with his arm, and they're not risks. They end up being assets, and you just see that they get off schedule so much, and him and Kelce are so good. Kelce would be running a simple little out route. He sees Mahomes scramble, and he'll break it back inside to what we call a simple hide route, and they're able to connect on it. You saw last week when he was getting hit and going down, Kelce readjusted his route, and their off-schedule plays are so great. And what Tampa Bay has got to be reluctant to do is chase, because if you chase, those guys get off schedule and they return. So I think if they stay at home, they can give Kansas City some trouble because of the effectiveness of their rush.
All right, about 2 minutes before we have to take a break at the bottom of the hour, I have a lot of numbers as far as Tampa Bay's offense is concerned. You tell me about them.
Well, you got a coach on the field. You have probably the best offensive coordinator in the league playing quarterback. And I go to one thing real quick that stood out to me last week, NFC Championship game. They're up by five. They have a 3rd and 10. It was a bad snap, or it's a quick snap. Brady catches the ball and throws it almost immediately into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he throws it, and everybody's like, what is he doing? He trots off the field. They were inside field goal range. He wanted the 8-point lead. They knew what was happening. It was anticlimactic. They're probably the biggest play of the game. How many quarterbacks do that? How many quarterbacks just start running around trying to make something happen? He knew it was a bad play. He didn't make it a worse play. He grounded it, ran off the field. We'll take three. We're up by eight. We win football game.
Right.
That is what they do different than anybody else.
They going to be able to run the football tomorrow? Do they want to run the football tomorrow?
I think they have to run the football, but by gosh, they're going to have to take chances. You cannot take field goals. Last week, watching Buffalo and watching some of the coaching decisions, and I know those guys make millions of dollars, but I relate back to our state championship game. As soon as Maryville wanted to get in a track meet with us, I told our coaches, we're going to win this game because you can't get in a track meet with us. And that's the way I think Kansas City feels. They're going to try to get in the track meet. They got to. If you don't get in the track meet with Kansas City, they're going to blow you out.
All right, Tampa Bay wins the game tomorrow. If what happens?
They score plus 30 points. They have to score plus 30. If they don't score plus 30, there's no chance.
I want to ask you a real quick question before we take the break at the bottom of the hour. Tell me about the wide receiver Mike Evans for Tampa Bay.
A tight end / receiver. Unbelievable body, unbelievable body control, able to high point the ball as good as anybody in the league. Not great breakaway speed, but speed that allows him to control where he's at. He can break off of corners. Just an unbelievable nightmare matchup. And I think that is a really good point, that he may not be their best receiver, but he's their go-to receiver when they get down. And they're really good in the red zone having him and Gronk.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Hey, you bet, Kevin. Thank you.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LaPage back with more after the break. The Coach's Show.
My mouth is dry right now. I know I might sound tense, and I am.
Hear Glenn Beck.
Because every word that any of us speak, live, unscripted,
before someone takes the words,
is going to be monitored, scrutinized, and twisted
right out of his mouth.
The responsibility to keep a voice that can be heard is overwhelming.
Glenn Beck, Saturday night at 6
on News Radio, KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
the KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips. We were scheduled to have the Central Bank shootout today at the Rackers Fieldhouse on the campus of Helias High School. A total of 7 basketball games were scheduled. They were canceled yesterday, one of the factors being the predicted weather, not only the predicted snow, but temperatures. And so that has been canceled. There's a possibility that it will be rescheduled for later in the month. We say good morning to Coach Phillips.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Coach. Talk about the basketball game earlier in the week against Columbia Rockbridge. A close basketball game, and Rockbridge wins late in the ball game.
Yeah, it really was. It was a competitive game. We led the entire way. I think we gave up the lead in the fourth quarter. Our kids showed tremendous resiliency and character, and I just thought we played hard. And we're getting closer to being able to say we played four quarters of basketball. You know, when we do that, good things will start happening.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you led at the end of the first quarter, led at the half, and led after three quarters of play Tuesday night in Columbia.
Yeah, and, you know, we early in the year, you know, we would be in ball games, and we would go on, a 2 or 3 minute stretch where we would take bad shots. Well, the other night at Rockbridge, we had a 2.5-3 minute stretch that we took good shots, and they just didn't fall. I thought our guys defended unbelievably well. Most of their points came from the free throw line in the fourth quarter. We're a lot better than we were a month ago. We're playing our best basketball right now, and we still haven't played our best game yet, so that's exciting.
It's a point I want to expand on a little bit, and that's when you hit the month of February, it's crunch time, isn't it? You got to be playing your best basketball. You don't want to take a step back. You need to take a step forward each game, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And I feel like our guys are doing that. You know, we were ready to go today, and unfortunately with the weather and COVID and all that, it's just going to have to wait till Tuesday night. Hickman comes to town, a really good basketball team, and then Blair Oaks comes to town on Friday. So, we're going to be put right back in the fire pretty quick here. And so I'm excited to see as we continue to grow because, I think any coach wants to play his best basketball come district time, and I think we're getting closer to that.
Well, and I think your team's done a very good job of dealing with the changes that you've had to make in the schedule due to the pandemic, because I took a look at your schedule again last night, and you mentioned it just a moment ago. You have Hickman at home Tuesday night, and a game we'll have here on KWOS. Friday night you'll be home against the Blair Oaks Falcons. Again, we'll have that game here. And then the 16th against Troy, the 19th against Capital City, the 26th against Winfield, all of those games at home. And you take a look at a situation where if you're able to reschedule the Central Bank shootout and play that game, I think you'll end up with a full 25-game schedule. And that's very difficult in this type of a situation with the pandemic this year.
Yeah, it is. And credit our administration. I said it before and I'll say it again. They could have easily let a few of these games go by and not, get things rescheduled, or when things were canceled early with COVID, they worked really hard to fill up our schedule. So we're very thankful for that because, coming into the season, we didn't know if it'd be 5 games, 10 games, 15, 20, and, we got a chance to play 25.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, when we rescheduled things, we took a hard schedule and made it extremely tough.
Right.
You look at some of the teams that we rescheduled and brought in here in place of the original games, and so I think that's helped us, as we're getting down towards districts. We played a legitimate top 10 schedule in Class 6, and early on we wondered why we were doing it, but I think now you see why.
Yeah, Greenwood is a perfect example, a team that wasn't on your schedule originally, and you had to make some changes, and Greenwood ends up coming into Jefferson City and playing at the Fleming Fieldhouse in mid-December.
Yeah, Greenwood, Monroe City.
Right.
Fort Zumwalt South, they weren't on there. Ozark wasn't on there, we got in the Lebanon tournament because we weren't allowed to go to the Joplin tournament, and Logan Rogersville got a D1 transfer at semester. That 6'7" Jonathan Dunn is a dynamic player, and they're ranked class 10, or 10th in class 5, and double overtime loss, So our administration has worked very hard. Our schedule has been brutal, but our kids' character and perseverance has allowed us to get through that, and I think it shows that we're a much better basketball team because of it.
Yeah, some of the numbers prove your point. Logan Rogersville, last check, was like 14-4, 15-4, something like that. I think Greenwood's 15-5. Ozarks won over 12 games. You have two losses to Helias, and they have 14 wins on the season. You talked about Monroe City, and Monroe City's 17-1. So right there, you take a look at all of those numbers, and the teams that you've lost to have had great years.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling, really, you know, when you go back and you look at those numbers. And, you know, I was talking to the boys about that the other day. It's all great, you know, when you look at that on paper, but it's time that we finish, you know, and we got a little closer to finishing against Rockbridge. You know, I just think that I told the kids, and I won't back down from the statement, I think we've let ourselves down if we're not playing at Helias for a district championship.
When you take a look at your schedule, and again, we just mentioned it a few moments ago, all of these great records of these teams that you've played during the season, has this made your team tougher?
Yes, it really has, and it's also made them come together, you know, and because these kids have never played together, you know, and we didn't have the summer to just hang out and, you know, play games that didn't matter. So I do think it made us tougher, and I think it brought us together. You know, because nobody feels sorry for you on the other side when they're beating you.
You mentioned this earlier, and I want to come back to the point because I think it's a very good point about you talk about the activities directors at Jefferson City High School and the great job that they've done with regards to scheduling. I think that can be said for athletic directors as well across the state, coaches across the state, teams across the state, for all being so flexible. Because, I mean, you have a situation where, you know, you're preparing for a Tuesday game on Monday, and then all of a sudden someone tells you, well, we're not going to have that game. You're going to play this team instead on Thursday.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think somebody we need to add into that mix is all the custodians who have had extra work put on them.
Yes, great
sure
point.
We get these games in. And you know, back to your point about, you know, you never know who really you're going to play. You know, I know I'm guilty as a coach, and I know I've heard other coaches talking about it. This year has forced us to truly focus most, if not all, of our time on what we do and not about what the next opponent's going to do, because you know there's a high probability that you are spending a lot of time on something that may not happen, you know. And so I know for us, lately we've been really, really focused on just what Jeff City needs to do, you know, and then we've tried to make adjustments as we go in games.
In late November, you opened the season on the road in a conference game against Sedalia Smith Cotton. So you take a look at that at the end of November. You step on the floor Tuesday night at home against Columbia Hickman. What's the biggest change, the biggest difference you've seen in your basketball team over that period?
Toughness and just a willing to defend. You know, I think those are the two biggest things. You know, we're just a lot tougher. We made a much more of a commitment to defend and do the things necessary.
We talked about the flexibility in the schedule. Has it given you more home games this year than you normally would at regular schedule before got changed?
It really has.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know, we just won our first home game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule that we made stronger because of all the changes have all been at home games. And we played arguably our best basketball on the road this year, you know, down in the Owensville tournament. The other night at Rockbridge, we played really well, you know. And so our kids are excited about the possibility of going on the road for a district title, because the way it's set up, Helias will be the one seed. And so it'll have to run through Helias, and our kids see that as a road game. So as weird as that is, and, you know, when you're dealing with 16- and 17-year-old kids, you just say, okay, I agree, let's go.
You mentioned Rolla on the road. You played well at the Lebanon tournament too, didn't you?
Oh, yes, extremely well down there. You know, and really the difference is that it's not that we've defended better on the road. We've shot it better on the road, which I can't explain to you. You know, I mean, we shoot every day in our gym, you know. So, but our shooting numbers – are much higher on the road. So So I guess visitor rims are more friendly than ours.
You mentioned it. We'll have the game Tuesday night. You'll take on Columbia Hickman. The Cupies are playing well, aren't they?
They really have. And Coach Craig's done a great job. These kids play with a lot of energy. They defend. They bought in. You know, Seth Larson is obviously the player that makes them go. And, you know, we got to make sure that we have multiple eyes on him at all times. You know, and it's a game with Hickman that you, it's going to come down to if we stay in front of the basketball. You know, they're dribble drive, like to get downhill. So we just got to move our feet and stay in front of the basketball. If you do that, rebounding gets easier because we are undersized. And if we rebound well, we can get out and run a little bit.
It's kind of rivalry week next week, isn't it? You have Hickman at home on Tuesday, Blair Oaks on Friday at home.
Yeah, it's a big week. You know, you go from two different type of basketball teams, you know, and both well-coached, and it'll be a good litmus test for us to see exactly if we're where we think we are.
One other quick point before we let you go, as we talked about it last week, Sterling Deshaies went over 1,000 points in his career at Jefferson City High School. He's had a great season and a great career at Jefferson City, hasn't he?
Sterling, yeah, he really has. You know, he is very unselfish, sometimes too unselfish. He comes to work every day. He's a really quiet kid, phenomenal family. Love it. They let me coach Sterling. They let me coach him hard, and he responds to it. And just, you know, hats off to Sterling because, you know, you tell kids the more time you spend in the gym, the better you'll get. And you can see Sterling's growth over the last 3 years.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. We'll see you Tuesday night, okay?
All right, take care.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips. We're on the air, I think, 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. From the Fleming Field House, it will be the Jefferson City Jays taking on the Columbia Hickman Cupies in Central Missouri Activities Conference play. It's right here on KWOS. Back with more after the break. We'll head down to Tampa, Florida, right after this.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, I'm Michelle West with MidAmerica Mortgage, and we have been working with Zimmer Communications for well over 20 years. I enjoy working with the team at Zimmer because I can do mortgage loans. I don't know marketing. They are able to help us come up with a plan and a program and keep me on track. Working with Zimmer Creative Team has actually been one of the best investments we have made at MidAmerica Mortgage.
When you're ready to take your business to the next level, contact Zimmer Communications at ZimmerCommunications.com.
ShopMidMo.com. Savings just a click away.
Up to 50% off at High Rise Bakery. Up to 50% off at Sky Zone. Up to 50% off at Firehouse Sub. It's not wishful thinking. It's every day at ShopMidMo.com. Discounted gift certificates from all kinds of great local businesses. Save time, save money at
ShopMidMo.com. ShopMidMo.com.
Phoenix Programs is proud to serve veteran families in 23 Missouri counties through our Supportive Services for Veteran and Families program. If you are a veteran experiencing homelessness or at risk for homelessness, we are here to help. Please call 833-415-1707 and find help today. That's 833-415-1707. This announcement sponsored by Phoenix Programs.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Let's head down to Tampa, Florida. We are joined now by KRCG Sports Director Rod Smith. And Rod, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you? It's nice down here.
Let us down easy, okay? It's 19 degrees, I think, in Jefferson City. We're expecting, I think, some snow today. So yeah. Give us the weather forecast in Tampa so we can move on, okay?
Yeah, there you go. I think 75 today, which is basically 76 yesterday. And they did take the rain out of the forecast for Super Bowl Sunday. I guess may rain a little bit later today, but boy, it's nice. Little sunny skies and very peaceful morning, enjoying it down here.
Well, and you put in a lot of work when you're down there covering the NFL championship games. It's not a matter of sitting down and saying, okay, I'll be at the pool till 3 o'clock this afternoon. I got a golf tee time at 5:30.
I wish, but no, that'll come later in life, I think. But yeah, it is a lot of work. People don't understand it. It's really not all that glamorous, to tell you the truth, Kevin. I enjoy doing it, but it's a lot, especially in a new city. I've been to Tampa a few times, but I don't know the city that well. And to get around, and believe it or not, Kevin, I'm down here alone this week. Well, my wife and my daughter are, but they're more here for fun. And I'm kind of working alone with a couple other CBS affiliates and Sinclair affiliates, so I get a little help from them. But it's pretty much me finding the places and finding people and going to find the event and so forth. And parking is a hassle, big cities, traffic, and having to do live shots and different stories, different times of the day. So, yeah, it's usually 12-hour, 13-hour day, something like that. But it keeps you going. I enjoy doing it. It's fun. It's invigorating. But I couldn't do this for, you know, just a few, 4 or 5 days, then I'm ready to get back into the regular mode, I think.
What do you like most about covering the NFL championship game?
Well, I think it's just that all eyes are on this thing, and everybody, you know, even if you're not a sports fan, you're involved in it in some way. You're going to be watching on Sunday. So we don't have to get into the X's and O's that much, but more the people who are down here watching it and the people in this Tampa Bay community who've been waiting for the Super Bowl all year long, preparing for it and realizing, you know, it's a pandemic year, so it's going to be a little subdued from what it normally would be. But still, the people of Tampa have been fantastic, and it's a busy, busy place down at the Super Bowl experiences and things like that for fans. And surprisingly, a lot of people gathering. I just haven't seen anything quite like this in really since last March, you know, since the pandemic started. So it's in some ways, it feels good to see it. In other ways, you think, ooh, I hope everybody's being safe.
Hey, Rod, with the pandemic, I would imagine there's not as many media people there this week.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it is a big change in that. And that's what I noticed right off the bat when I went to the media center, which is in this great big convention center in Tampa, similar to last year in the Miami Convention Center. And to compare the two, the buildings are the same size, but the amount of people is probably, I'd say it's not even a tenth of the number of media from what I can see during game week. It's this great big ballroom. Media Row normally has just hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of people in there talking and doing radio shows pre-Super Bowl. There are about like maybe 25 or 30 tables in there this year, and only about 8 or 9 of them doing radio shows on Thursday and Friday when I was in there. So that's very, very different. They have, I think they have as many security people as last year, but they have like at least 1/10 of the media members. I really, other than the TV affiliates I'm working with, I have not really seen a lot of all the local people. I've seen a lot of local Tampa Bay TV people around doing stories, but everybody's amazed to see somebody from representing kind of Kansas City or Missouri. And that's fun, too. You get to meet so many interesting people. But, yeah, this year, a whole lot less media, a lot less.
A lot of times during an NFL championship game, there'll be stars down there. And I know for Tampa Bay and for Tampa, Florida, they're excited about Hall of Famer Rod Smith being there. From your standpoint, who are the stars that you've run into?
I don't think they have any. I thought you were thinking of Rod Smith, the former Denver Broncos.
No.
They might be interested in him. But,
oh, Missouri Hall of Famer Rod Smith.
Yeah, something like that. You know, that's the other thing, Kevin. There's no personal access to any players. And it's even at the fan events that they have had, they don't have players signing autographs. They don't have players coming back through here. Usually they have the former greats intermingling with the fans, but they don't have that this year.
Yeah.
So really everything has been on Zoom as far as interviews, and those are pretty much taken care of back at our station by Kevin Ryans and the guys back there. So, yeah, very little interaction to see. But I am anxious to see Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady play. I will say that.
Yeah. You know, when you take a look at it, too, and when you go down there to cover this, both teams are there early in the week, and you've mentioned a couple of times on your live reports that the Chiefs won't be down there till today.
Isn't that amazing? That's one of the craziest things of all. I came down here on Wednesday, and the Chiefs aren't even here until Saturday. They're going to come in like a normal game week game during the regular season, play the game, and fly back out. We heard yesterday that they'll be leaving right after the game. They're not hanging around to celebrate down here on Sunday. I don't think they think the optics are very good to be doing that, so they'll go back home and celebrate in their own homes with their own families and do that hopefully Sunday night, if there's a celebration. I hope there is. Our Chiefs fans certainly hope there is, and got to feel pretty good about it. But, boy, you got to play the game, and you never know what's going to happen when they throw the football around.
Rod, did you come up with a sidebar story this week?
Yeah, several interesting ones. Brian Ehase, former Fulton Hornet, I covered him in high school. He is just one of the biggest Chiefs fans. He's been in the car business around mid-Missouri, and Rusty Drewing, his family, big in the car business. They've been season ticket holders for a long time, so I ran around with them a little bit yesterday. And Rusty's mother-in-law was a fan back in the 60s. She has been a season ticket holder for a number of years. And so we talked to them yesterday, had that on last night. And today, interesting, I'm going to meet up, and I still have to coordinate where and when, and that's half the battle is trying to find people. There's a young lady who graduated in 1977 from Jeff City High School, Leanne, and she has a group of four other women, and they traveled to the Super Bowl last year. They've been season ticket holders in Kansas City for the last 15 years. They will be traveling together down here, so we'll catch up with them, just five women who have, they shoot the wad every year to do something like this. So we'll talk to them and meet them. Otherwise, just the fun stuff around the fan experience. Oh, last night was kind of cool, too. We went to had a fireworks and laser light show that I have on our Facebook page at KRCG. I put that on live last night. Really neat, just a beautiful area downtown on the bay. We have a big pirate ship out in the middle of the bay. They shoot off the fireworks and have the laser light show. And there were, oh my gosh, Kevin, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 people down there.
It was just wow. That was your backdrop from last night, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, with that ship in the background. Yeah, that was good. And that was my daughter, Brooke, holding the light so they could actually see my face. it's amazing. You get the family to help you out in certain things, and it's been fun having my daughter, Brooke, lives down here, so we're actually staying with her. It works out really well.
I was going to ask you, logistics-wise, when you have a situation where the Kansas City Chiefs win the AFC Championship game, and there's 2 weeks between that game and the NFL Championship game, there's a lot of, if you're going to go down and cover, it's a lot of things you have to do in a short period of time, don't you?
Yeah, there is. In a normal year, it's really complicated. This year, not as much air travel and so forth. And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, Kevin, I had to be very careful because our company does not allow much travel at all these days, and I had to make sure that I could come down here, get my job done, and go back and still do my real job, and that's covering our local high school sports and college sports, because there was a time when we would have to quarantine for about 14 days if we traveled. And I said, I can't do that. So if that's the case, I just can't go to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to. And honestly, budgetary reasons, we may not have gone anyway, but since my daughter was down here anyway, I said, we had kind of planned on coming down here regardless, even if the Chiefs didn't make it, so we had reservations anyway, but I did have to go through and make sure that as long as I don't have symptoms or anything, that I can come back to work and obviously be really careful down here. I stay, it's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
I've learned to do my job without getting close to people, which is goes totally against my grain for 35 years, but that's the way we have to do it for right now. And I got to keep myself safe, my family safe, and everybody else around me safe. It's just the way we do things now.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where in a couple of weeks, we're probably going to have at least half of a coach's show. I'm going to have different people from different types of sports, TV, radio, newspaper, and we're going to talk about the fact of how you've been able to still do your job and cover your things through the pandemic.
Yeah, we've learned a lot. And I think, that'll be an interesting show, Kevin. I'd like to hear that because I think...
Well, you'll be on it.
That's great. I always enjoy your show, Kevin. My problem is getting up early enough to listen to it. I work really late at night.
You need to tape it.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. Or I'll just go on the website or whatever and hear it, but that's the thing I need to do. The other thing is being down here in Florida, you know, it's 8:45 now, or 8:50,
right,
whatever it is. So that's not so bad, but the 7 o'clock business down in well, I'm back home in Jeff City, that's a little early for me.
Well, Rod, I don't want you to every Friday night drive to Florida just so you could listen to the Coach's Show because it's an hour later. Okay?
That's a great idea, Kevin.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay.
Hey, we've got about a minute left to go. What's the most interesting thing about this game as you see it tomorrow?
Well, I think it really is surrounding Tom Brady. As much as I like to think Patrick Mahomes is the most interesting thing, I mean, Kevin, we're just seeing history here. This is 10 Super Bowls for one quarterback, and he has a chance to win his seventh. I think Patrick Mahomes is a whole lot better, and I think the Chiefs are probably a better team, but you just never know. We've seen a lot of sports, Kevin. Anything can happen, and if Brady happens to win this thing, that would just be unbelievable as far as sports is concerned. But I'm looking for it. I love to watch the Chiefs play so much because they do something fun and interesting every game. And I know when Andy Reid has 2 weeks to work on it, he'll find some interesting plays, and we'll be watching for him tomorrow.
Appreciate your time, Rod. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
KRCG Sports Director Rod Smith. We'll see you next week on The Coach's Show.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City, K283 CL Jefferson City. It's 8 o'clock.